Welcome to the program Seven Gifts of the Holy Spirit with Father Kenese Cartmell. And now, Father Cartmell.
Hello again, my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been speaking about the Holy Spirit and His seven gifts. The gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, courage, counsel, piety, fear of the Lord, and knowledge. We've been speaking more recently about the gift of understanding, understanding God better, our neighbor better, and ourselves better. Because if we call in the Holy Spirit into our daily lives, and it's got to be a daily process, it isn't something that's static, we will learn that in our lives there will be a lot of misunderstanding. But the Holy Spirit will give us the patience to wait for the answer that God always gives in His time and in His way. And on this point, it's always amazed me that people who love the prayer of St. Francis, all people, many denominations love that prayer. And being a Franciscan, I also know that prayer. It always amazes me that everybody who says that prayer forgets one thing. They're asking to be misunderstood. And then all of a sudden God answers their prayer and they're surprised. You know, whenever we open our mouth to the Lord, as Jephthah did in the Old Testament, we've got to realize that God hears all the times we open our mouths to the Lord. And so when we pray, "Oh dear, oh divine master, grant that I may not so much be understood as to understand," God answers that prayer. So don't be surprised if in your life there is misunderstanding. It's God's answer to your prayer to help you be a source of understanding to others. Now I'd like to spend some time with you on the gift of counsel. And the way I was given that definition years ago on Guam is this. For me, the gift of counsel is the ability to say the right word at the right time to the right person. Whether that person is God, my neighbor, or myself. And when you think of saying, how do I say the right thing to God? We automatically somewhere are thinking about prayer. Well, when we speak to God, I think there's really two ways in which we do that. We do it verbally, and we do it non-verbally. The verbal speaking to God, the verbal opening our minds and our hearts and our souls to God. I think there's three elements that are very important in that verbal communication, because really that's what counsel is, the gift of counsel is all about, communication. There should be reverence, there should be respect, and there should be remembrance. The reverence. I don't think we can approach God better than the way Christ Himself told us to pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Reverence is shown there. But there's another area that I'd like to bring out when we talk about praying to the Father, no matter where we're coming from religiously. Once Christ asked His hearers to pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers into the harvest. We can't talk about every kind of prayer right now, so I'm going to limit myself to this very specific prayer. The Our Father, of course, but this one. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers into the harvest. Some people call that vocations or prayer for vocations. I'd like to tell you how I got mine. My father was a Protestant when he married my mother. He became a Catholic before he died, but I never really knew my father. He died when I was 3 years old. But my father told me, not told me so much, but my father used to pray over my crib and the crib of my brother. And every night he looked down at his two boys and he would say, "Dear God, Send holy and fervent religious and priests into the world. But don't forget my two boys. Well, everybody put the money on my brother. I mean, he was handsome, he was dark-haired, he was quiet, he was clever. He was never caught. He was going to be the priest. I was the redhead, a little bit loud, a little bit in trouble, a little bit always doing something, a little bit in mischief, and always caught. And yet all my life, since I was 3 years old, I wanted to be a priest. But nobody believed me. They thought, oh, nice little boy. And since my folks were in show business, my mother taught me how to dance and all the other things. I finally came home one day and told my mother I'm going to the seminary. She even didn't believe it. And then when the pastor told the other priests in the friary that the Cartmel boy was going to the seminary, they all said, Joe. And he said, no, the redhead. They said, dear God, don't pray for him. Pray for the seminary. Why I tell you this story is precisely God is the one who chooses the ones he wants. But he needs the prayer for vocations. And even though I do not know my father, every time I say Mass, for me it's Father's Day. And I guess we all have our own kind of ideas of what heaven's like. But I have mine. And one of the things I'm looking forward to if I get there is to see my father and to thank him for his prayer of years ago. And so what I'm saying in this gift of counsel, if you use the Holy Spirit and let him develop this gift in you, you will say the right thing to God, the Our Father. You will speak to him with your heart. You'll speak to him with your mind. But most of all, you'll also be praying for more laborers in the vineyard, more laborers to bring in the harvest. And God, in his time and in his way, will answer that very specific prayer. So I ask you, pray for vocations, pray for laborers. There's another aspect of this talking to God or saying the right thing to God, and it has to do with reverence and respect for his name. You know, in a Christian world, we have taken the name of God and we've taken the name of Christ, and it's become a joke. It's become a curse word. You hear it at gas stations when somebody drops a wrench. They will not bleep that out on television. They will bleep out other vulgar phrases, but they do not bleep out the misuse of the name of God. And the very people who go to church on a Sunday or on a Sabbath, they will call upon that beautiful name of God or the name of Jesus or the name of Christ, and they will allow the world to make fun of it. I think that when we use the gift of counsel, personally, we will never use that name in any other way except with respect. And when we talk to God, and when we use this gift of counsel and saying the right thing to God, I think he would like us to remember the good things he's done for us. And so, remember all the things you and I take for granted. I can move my finger. My God could stop that. I can look into a lens. My God could close my eyes. I can hear. I can walk. I am blessed by God. He could stop all these functions, and yet he gives me every day new life. Remember every day what God has given you in the past so you appreciate what he is giving you in the present at this moment. Holy Spirit, help me to use the gift of counsel so that I say the right thing to God, verbally and now nonverbally. How do we speak to God nonverbally? Three ways. We speak to God with our bodies, we speak to God with our minds, and we speak to God with our souls. This threefold gift wrapped up in this person called me is a body, a mind, and a soul. And so one of the ways to talk to God nonverbally, to communicate with him, is to appreciate what the body is. It's not evil. It's not dirty. It is holy. It is a house of God. And it's meant to be used well. It's meant to be taken care of. It's meant to be washed. It's meant to be treated with respect. It is not just something like a piece of meat. It's a house of God. And so God wants us to use our bodies well. And he doesn't want us to abuse those bodies by too much of any one thing. And so when we take care of our bodies, it's another way of non-verbally communicating with God and saying, thank you for this body. Another way of communicating to God non-verbally is with the mind. You know, they have an advertisement up in the East, and I don't know if they have it anywhere else, for the Negro College Fund. They say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. When we all go to school, we study and we read and we make book reports, but it's amazing, after we get out of school or out of college, no matter what our profession is, we get a little bit lackadaisical. We get a little bit lazy in developing this magnificent gift of the mind. And it's the kind of a gift that's got to be used every day. It's got to be massaged every day. Otherwise, it atrophies. And we lose the power of real thinking, of making good judgments, of getting and building a vocabulary. God wants us to use this mind day in and day out. And so don't waste your mind. And if you used to make reports and you haven't read a book in years, pick up a book. Pick up the Bible. Pick up a spiritual book. Pick up a pamphlet. But every day make it a point not just to read the sport page, not just the comics, but try to read an editorial. In other words, make the mind work every day. And you will then be praying to God nonverbally. And then, of course, the nonverbal communication with God is how we treat our souls. This unseen factor, this unseen gift, this dynamic force that's in all of us is something very precious. And I think for me, the easiest way and the best way to tell God and to show God that I love him, the best way for me to speak to God about my soul is to say, thank you for giving me a soul. And thank you for allowing me to have the mark of God on my soul through baptism. And I can appreciate my soul, the soul I do not see, by keeping the commandments of God. That's a nonverbal communication with God. I don't have to open my mouth at all. But if I love my God with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind, and if I love my neighbor as I love myself, then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am speaking to God the right way, with the right word, at the right time. Think about these things as we take a break for a few moments. Thanks for staying tuned to the finest cable network in America. And thank you for allowing me to come into your home and share with you some of my own thoughts. We've been talking about the gift of counsel, how the Holy Spirit will help us to say the right word at the right time to the right person, whether that person is God, our neighbor, or ourselves. We talked about how we speak to God verbally and nonverbally. Well, that's the very same way we talk with other people. Verbally and nonverbally. Verbally, of course, we know how wonderful this gift of speech is. Some of the most magnificent words in the world have been pronounced with the mouth. And yet we also know that that tongue is a source of great factions, great dissensions, great fires, great disruptions. More people have been scarred and hurt with the tongue than with any weapon that's ever been devised by man. And you ever notice you've gotten a scar as a young boy or a young girl? Somehow that scar is a badge of honor. But have you ever been hurt by somebody saying something that hurt you deeply? Or maybe you forgave what was said, but you remembered it. And at different times it comes up, and it's a raw, open wound. The tongue is a magnificent gift of God, and yet it's abused often. And we often use it to hurt the very ones we love the most, the ones we're closest to. I know I've got a blunt attitude at times, and I can be very prideful, and I think that I have all the answers. And there was a time in my life where I thought that I was always right. I still think I'm always right, but you know what I've learned? I've learned to listen to my neighbor and say to myself, while I might be right, I also believe that they are right too. And there's one person I love very much, and she is my mother. She's dead now, God rest her soul. But she was a strong woman, and she had strong opinions. And so the two of us would get into great arguments, and sometimes we'd say the wrong thing to each other. And that bothered me. And every time I go to visit my mother, I'd say, oh, we're going to get into another argument. How can I avoid it? And so I started saying a very simple prayer. Holy Spirit, help me to use the gift of counsel as I visit my mother. And somehow it gave me, whether it calmed me down or made me gentler, I don't know. But I never got into an argument with my mother after that. Because I learned to control the tongue. And that's what the gift is all about, really. It helps us to control the tongue, that we say the right word. If you're a husband or a wife, or a parent or a child. And say the husband is coming home and he's not feeling good. It's been a bad day at the office. The radiator blew up and he had a flat tire and the boss chewed him out. Well, he's not feeling great. Well, before you walk into that house to greet your wife and children or your parents, just a moment take and say, Holy Spirit, help me to use the gift of counsel so I say the right word. And the wife, maybe it wasn't a good day at the house. The plumber charged too much. The electrical fixtures didn't work too well. The dryer broke. The children smashed a very precious possession. So she's not feeling well. Well, before the husband comes in that door, it would behoove the wife to say, Holy Spirit, help me to say the right word to my husband as he comes in the door. There's a poster we've been talking about. It's a small poster. And I always tell people, put it in a place where you see it every day, where everybody goes. Get a little small magnet and put it on the door of the refrigerator to remind you to call on the Holy Spirit in all areas of your life, but in this very special area of using the tongue and speech. So when you speak to your mother, when you speak to your father, when you speak to your children, when you speak to your wife, when you speak to your husband, use this gift of counsel. When you speak to your boss, it'll help you. It'll improve your whole attitude towards life. It'll control that powerful instrument called the tongue. But there's another area that people, I would say, are involved in when they talk about the tongue. They call it charitable talk. It's not really charitable talk. I consider charity to be under the umbrella of justice. And I'd like you to bear with me for a few moments as we talk about what justice is. Justice is the virtue where we give to everyone what is his right. Where we give to everyone what is his right. That's justice. And charitable talk and charity comes under that umbrella of justice. And what does justice really demand? It demands prudence. And what is prudence? Prudence is simply this: out of the remembrance of things past, in consideration of things present, we anticipate the future. Or there's another way of talking about prudence, And prudence is the virtue that guides justice, is the right choice, the right means, the right intent, and the right end. The four R's. So you've got justice guided by prudence in the use of the tongue. Justice is the thing to consider when you use the tongue in talking to your neighbor, talking to your God, talking to yourself, but primarily in talking to your neighbor. Because you see, every human being, you, me, every person that walks this earth has got a right to person, a right to possession, and a right to honor. A right to honor. And that's why we're going to talk about the right to honor in this context of the gift of counsel. How to say the right word to the right person at the right time. This natural right of man is one of the most precious we have. The right to honor. And Shakespeare has something to say about that in Othello, where Othello says, "Good name in man or woman, dear Lord, is the immediate jewel of their souls. Who steals my purse, steals trash." 'Tis something, 'tis nothing. 'Twas mine, 'tis his, and has been slave to thousands. But he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him, but makes me poor indeed. And you know, there are many examples of how you and I have filched that immediate jewel of every man, how we have robbed others of their honor, how we have not used this gift of speech the right way. St. Thomas Aquinas gives us a few ways in which you and I have filched the good name, the honor of some other human being, by reviling, which is the spoken or written word publicly given against the honor of another. Backbiting, the spoken or written word so privately given. Tale-bearing, sown in dissension among friends. Derision, shaming the other by cruel humor. Cursing, calling down an evil on another. Detracting, the unjust telling of a truth or an untruth about another with the intention to harm. And again, note what Shakespeare says. This common human failing, that of telling the truth, no matter who gets hurt. This is what Gonzalo says in Tempest, Act 2, Scene 1. "The truth you speak doth lack some gentleness and time to speak it in. You rub the sore when you should bring the plaster." And finally, the seventh way that we can filch and take away a man's honor is by lying. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the means at our disposal to control our tongue so that we do not filch or rob or leave another human being's honor in verbal shambles. We've got the gift of counsel to help us say the right word at the right time to the right person, no matter who that person is. Don't make any great promises, I certainly won't, that I am going to say this tomorrow, or I'm going to use my gift of speech this way tomorrow or next week. But I do know what I can do today. I do know that today, if I use this magnificent gift the right way, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm not going to take away anybody's honor, anybody's, especially those I disagree with. I'll be a little bit gentler than I used to be, but I have to constantly call upon the Holy Spirit to help me remember that this is a dangerous weapon that I hold in my body, and I need control over it. I don't want to filch anybody's honor, because I don't want them to rob me of mine. I know you've been hurt with someone by what someone has said. I have. And it's something you remember. Oh, you forgive it, but it stays deep. And so, just as one little bit of a guideline, I'd like to leave you with this. In Memphis, Tennessee, there was a black lady who was loved by the whites and the blacks. She had no education, and people couldn't understand why this black lady was accepted so well by everybody. And so one time they sent a reporter out to ask her why. And this lovely black lady heard the question, and she said, "Friend, I always taste my words before I let them pass my teeth." So let us use this magnificent gift of speech by asking the Holy Spirit to help us say the right word. And to end up this little brief discussion on the gift of counsel, avoid the nonverbal communication. And what is the most common way we nonverbally talk to others? We give them the silent treatment. The silent treatment is not strength. The silent treatment is weakness.